It's episode 22 of Chefs on the Pass, the Crafts Guild of Chefs official podcast. Let's go! And today we're diving into the world of pastry, precision, discipline, and the small details that make a big difference. I'm joined by the brilliant Cherish Finden, award-winning pastry chef, TV judge, and now one of the judges for this year's National Chef of the Year. We chat about her journey from Singapore to London, the importance of technique over theory, and why keeping things simple but executing them perfectly is the real key to great cooking. If pastry isn't your comfort zone, this one might just change that, so make sure you hit that subscribe button and come right on in. Welcome to Chefs on the Pass, the Craft Guild of Chefs official podcast, hosted as ever from the crypt this time of Fortnum & Mason. I never thought I'd say that in my life, because I'm here to interview one of the chairs of judges this year for the National Chef of the Year, and that is none other than the master judge herself, Cherish Finden.
Thank you. Thank you for the invitation. It is such an honour to be part of this very prestigious competition.
Fantastic. Well, I think it'll be an honour for the competition to have you too. So it seems to me like a match made in heaven in that. And actually, I was just at the event very briefly before we turned the microphone on here to launch the competition this year in Fortnum & Mason, as I mentioned. And one of the things that really, really captured me was this word that you used, which was around elevation, around, you know, precision within the world of pastry, but you know, and what you'll bring to that competition from that perspective, based around, obviously, I think a lot of people will know you as somebody who's judged before. And we'll get into all of that, of course we will. But actually what I really want to do is just to cover off the two people out there who might not know who you are, just tell the world a little bit about who you are and what it is that you do.
Okay, I'm Cherish Finden. People know me as a TV judge. And basically, I'm a pastry chef. And at the moment, I'm a pastry consultant for a few companies.
Right, okay. Yeah, so I've known you for 5-6 years now, I think,
yes.
Maybe something like that. And obviously, you've built a career at the top end of the hotel world, really. A lot of the organisations that you've worked for. Just give us a kind of very quick run through of the sorts of organisations that are in your background.
Well, of course, I'm born from Singapore, brought up in Singapore, trained in Singapore with one of the best hotels that I work in, that I really enjoy working in, is the Raffles Hotel. Just because the chef is tough to work with Peter Knipp in his kitchen, you better roll up your sleeve and you run.
Right.
Yes. And I always remember that what he quote, and this will stay for me for the rest of my life. He said that, Cherish, I do not want to see the certificate that you have won in your competition. For me, it means nothing.
Right.
The most important thing is that what you put on the plate, that will show who you are. And he mentioned to me, action means louder than word. And that will stay with me for the rest of my life. And sometimes it's not what you put on the plate is important. How it tastes is even more important. There's no point that you put something that is so beautiful, but it's inedible.
Yeah, yeah. That's very interesting. And I've heard a lot of people talk about this. And I'm definitely somebody who eats with my eyes. Like, I love a plate to, you know, just bounce off the plate at me and, you know, to make me, entice me in. But actually, you know, that's fine. But if it doesn't back it up with taste, then, you know, what is the point?
Yes. Coming back to where I work, which I thought that strengthened me as a chef today, is Raffles Hotel, because they have actually brought in a lot of Michelin star restaurant chef into the Raffles Hotel. I was very fortunate to work with the chef whenever they come over to Singapore to do a promotion. So I always learn the first-hand kind of trend that what is happening in Europe. And that is why I guess I set up of Singapore and end up in England, very fortunate to be here. And I can see that it just boomed out. It just opened up my eyes. What is food like in the other part of the world?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, you've been in and around London now for how long?
For 25 years.
For 25 years. Yes. Right. Yeah. And in that time, I mean, the food scene in London is unrecognisable, I would imagine, from when you first arrived.
Well, it changed completely. When I first came, I remember that I was eating sticky toffee pudding.
Right, yeah.
Nothing wrong with it because it's my top favorite, and with a lot of custard as well. Well, when I first came, it's just a sticky toffee pudding. Now, it evolved so much that sponge, you can decorate it very nicely with a scoop of ice cream, with a twill, with a chocolate decoration. It evolved so much.
Yeah. I remember when I first moved to London, it was around the time that Gary Rhodes was beginning to make an impact. May he rest in peace. What an absolute gentleman that guy was. Lucky enough to have met him. But I remember being captivated by the principle of, you know, his speciality was taking classic British dishes, but elevating them and modernising them and bringing them into the 20th century at that time. Well, 21st century, I suppose.
I guess it's very important that we have to respect the classic. Classic is so important.
Yeah.
But how do we actually move it to the next level? Whether we dissect it, whether we reinvent or reimagine it, the core ingredients still need to be there. So when I look at the plate, if you tell me that it is a, for example, eaten mess, the core ingredient and the core component need to be visually recognized.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I heard you upstairs talking as well around chocolate tart. You know, effectively, sometimes people are at risk of overcomplicating things, whereas actually, you know, if you're just precise and you focus on really good ingredients and you get these things coming together, you don't need 15 things. You just need the four things all operating together in unison.
I think I'm very passionate about chocolate tart because it's one of my top favorite. And chocolate tart is so easy to make, but every component, you need to nail it. If you give me a sweet pastry, it need to be well-made, it need to be light, it need to be crunchy, it need to be no soggy bottom. And when you make the chocolate ganache, it need to be well-made. Recipe is very easy. It's 100 gram of 55% chocolate. Cream, again, is 100 gram. You have your 10 gram of butter and 10 gram of glucose. But it is not the recipe that you're looking on. At the end of the day, it is that how you execute it. The technique for me is super important. How you emulsify the chocolate, how you emulsify the butter into the mix. And when you pour it out, when you eat it, it's creamy, it's silky, it's smooth. And the buttery, crunchy pastry, it is just magnificent with one bite. Yeah. And that is what I'm looking for.
I remember when we had our chat all those years ago, Cherish, around you. You are, in the end, you're a lady of simple pleasures. I remember a glass of rosé, beans on toast, jobs, a good one.
Well, because when you were working in a hotel, you're working like 16, 17 hours a day. And by the time you reach home, it's like probably about 12, 1 o'clock. And you're so tired. You don't want a gourmet dinner. You just want something that's satisfying, very comforting, and something you recognize. For me, bean on toast is the best. Use the best butter, best bean, a bit of cheese on the top, put it in the oven, you know, a bit of paprika on the top, a pepper. Mamma mia.
I'm there, absolutely. Nobody's opened a cheese on toast restaurant yet, have they? Oh, there we are.
Maybe I should.
There we are. Yeah. So let's talk about the competition. Fabulous event today. I think it's really important. Competitions like this are so important, I think, in terms of the landscape. They give people the opportunity to test themselves, but also test themselves against others as well. But from your perspective, how did this come about this year? How did you end up becoming a judge for this year's competition?
Well, I was very fortunate to be invited by David to this amazing competition. And I just want to give something back to the hospitality, to the society. I think it's very important that I need to nurture the chef, the future chef, and to give back as much as I can to embrace the talent as well.
Yeah, brilliant, brilliant. And, you know, I think this is, it's probably safe to say that I think this is the number one culinary competition in the UK. And so from your perspective as a judge, this is the first time, I think, that there has actually been a judge that's specifically focusing on the pastry side of the industry. And a lot of the chefs that will come, yes, we will have some pastry chefs in the competition, no doubt, but a lot of them will come not with that as their background. So from your perspective, what are you looking for from contestants? What do you want to see from them?
Well, I always tell chef, keep it simple, keep it real. Don't overcomplicate your dessert. What you mentioned on the menu is what I want to taste. Every component has to execute to perfection. Every ingredient that you put in must have a purpose. If you add in something, does it help you to raise your sponge? Does it enhance it? Why do you add lemon zest instead of orange zest? Does it complement the ingredient that you put in? The small little detail make a big difference for me.
Yeah, and well, it's not like anybody couldn't go out and look into the archives and discover what type of judge you're going to be. I think you've done a little bit of TV work in your time. People will know you from that, I'm absolutely sure. What excites you about this year?
That I'm able to help and give what I can, as much as I can. And to tell people what is pastry about. It's not just giving me a plate of dessert. It's to really understand the science behind making a dessert, how to execute it so that you can give out the full potential of what you're trying to execute. I think for me, that is very important.
Yeah. And how is it going to work? Or maybe you don't even know this yet because you've got to figure all this out amongst you guys. But because obviously there are a number of judges, and the contestants will put forward their brief first before any cooking is done. At what point do you get involved? Are you involved in that section as well?
Well, I think it's to come up with the theme, to come up with the idea and also the brief. So for me, is to work as close as possible with Tom and Mark and to support them and to make it realistic.
Yeah, I can imagine that in itself is going to be a really interesting experience for you in terms of being able to sit down with some other chefs from, you know, various parts of the country, excellent in their own ways as well, and come together with something that's, I suppose, interesting, challenging, but also, you know, comes from the heart.
I think it's very important that the chef has to cook from the heart. The passion is number one for me, and never give up. I will never make a plated dessert one time and I said it's perfect. And sometimes for myself, I have to try 20, 30 times, take down notes, what is version 1, version 2, version 3, keep them in the freezer, take them out whenever I need them to make a comparison and to nail every single component to perfection before I put it on the table to serve my guests. So I expect the contestant to practice and practice and still practice.
Yeah, and do you know what? Having interviewed the last 2 years' worth of winners in Young and National Chef of the Year, the one overriding thing that always seems to happen is that somebody somewhere has a problem with the dessert. And so what would you say to anybody who's listening to this who is like, you know, yes, actually, do you know what? Dessert is not my forte. Dessert is the thing that I'm getting in my own head about and a bit panicky about. What's the best piece of advice for somebody to kind of be able to showcase the best version of themselves when it comes to pastry?
They have to be realistic to themselves. What is the strength? And produce something that they can execute within the competition hour that is given to them. Time management is very crucial. Being organized is very crucial. Knowing the recipe in and out in your head is super important. For me, you do not want to overcomplicate your dessert. Keep it really, really tasty. As Mark said, as a chef, I just want to eat nice food.
Yeah.
And I agreed with him with 100%.
There's not much to it, is there, really, in the end?
Yes.
Like, you know, keep it simple, make it delicious, and you've got a good chance.
Yes.
Yeah, and so mistakes are, I think, part and parcel of competition. Mm. By crikey, is watching. I think I've exchanged messages with you on social media around some of the episodes that I watch of Bake Off with Professionals, the most stressful show, I think, on television, when these guys are producing these wonderful, wonderful pieces of work and they have to move it from one place to the next. Mistakes are part and parcel of a kitchen, right? I mean, it doesn't matter if you're in service or you're in competition. There is generally going to be something happen, a, a, an oven doesn't get up to temperature, a blast chiller doesn't get down to temperature, whatever that may be. What advice do you give to people to kind of combat these sorts of inevitable things that just seem to present themselves?
Well, it's quite interesting that you bring up a mistake. We all make mistakes. And sometimes when you make mistake, it might be a very good idea. And this has happened to me a lot. I wasn't thinking of that, but because I make that mistake, I say, wait a minute. This is a bloody good idea. Sorry, I should not be saying that. So, you know, sometimes you are allowed to make mistakes. Most importantly, when you make a mistake, you learn from it. As what I said, you take from version 1 to version 10 and you choose the best bit and you combine everything together. So allow yourself to make mistakes. There is nothing wrong. However, it's very important that you must have a action 1, action 2 or a plan A to plan Z when you are in a competition. Always give yourself 10 to 15 minutes before you finish the competition. If let's say your competition finished 2 hours, given you 2 hours, time yourself 1 hour and 45 minutes. That 15 minutes is so crucial. If you have that 15 minutes, if you make a mistake, there's always a lead time for you to catch up. And that is how I work on my deadline. And my deadline is so important. You work on deadline from the quarter minute to the half an hour to the hour. You always tick off your list.
Yeah, and this is something that comes up as well in the discussions with the winners that I've spoken to over the last couple of years. Is that I even remember this year's National Chef of the Year winner. Actually, it was the young National Chef, Kira, who talked about the fact that, you know, the first time that she put her menu together, it took her something like 3.5 hours to do it. But that doesn't mean that that's the time that it's going to take you. I think a lot of people might look at that and go, God, that's too much time to make. But I've got to, how do I get an hour off of this prep time? Practice is your friend, right? That is the way to make sure that you get everything as tight as you can. And as you say, you've then got some time left in the event that something doesn't quite go according to plan. Mm. A couple of things just before I let you get on with your day. Very, very grateful for the time that you've given the show so far. From your experience over the years, is there, especially when it comes to competition, either, you know, because you have taken part in competitions yourself as you were climbing through the ranks, as I recall.
Yeah, I have to say that I was super competitive.
That surprises me, Cherish.
And when I was young, I mean, I'm still young.
Yeah.
I tried to go for a competition, 1 or 2 competition a year. And every year, I will strive myself to achieve a better result. Today, if I get a blonde, I will not talk about it. I'll learn from my mistake and I will move on. Not crying, but of course I cry and I learn. And then I will aim myself always for a goal. If I don't get the goal, I don't talk about it. And when I reach a goal, my next goal was to achieve with goal with distinction. And I think goal is so important. You need to put a goal that is measurable. Yeah, you need to give yourself a goal with a timing as well that you want to achieve. And if you don't achieve, you need to understand why. And I find that it's very powerful when you put a goal, measurable, timing, achievable, it works for me.
Yeah, and from your time in competitions, either as a contestant yourself or what you've judged over the years, is there something or someone that just stood out and you're just in terms of maybe the dessert itself or just the way somebody worked and operated that just really, you know, you remember as being, wow, that was pretty special?
Well, there's a lot of occasion. We talk about Coupe du Monde and how the chef produced this amazing showpiece, chocolate showpiece, sugar showpiece, dessert, entremet, ice cream. It's mind-blowing. I mean, the world have evolved so much. People is using different technique, different talent, you know, how the chefs see things, using AI to help them to generate ideas and things. It's phenomenal for me.
Yeah, yeah. And it's funny you mentioned AI. I've never even considered the prospect of AI being able to kind of help fathom. Because, you know, let's be honest. I mean, a lot of chefs go into the industry because they've got creative brains. Mm. a plate of food is a wonderful creative space to be in. Sometimes there's too much going on in the head and you need help to be able to make sense of it. I can see how tech might be able to play its part.
Well, the world have moved on, and I think that we have to follow the trend. We have to move with the trend and what is happening around us as well.
Yeah, totally. Last question then to you, which is, what can contestants expect from Judge Cherish in this competition? What type of judge are you going to be for them?
I think I will be strict, and I have to be very fair, and I have to write what I taste. So chef, whatever component, texture, taste, look, appearance, colour, you need to keep it real.
Yeah, absolutely. Cherish, thank you so much for spending time with the show today. Always a pleasure to spend time in your company.
Thank you so much for having me.
I hope it's a fabulous experience for you this year.
Thank you.
Well, that was brilliant with Cherish, a real reminder that simplicity, precision and flavour will always win. It's not about overcomplicating things, it's about executing the basics beautifully. A huge thanks to Cherish for sharing her insights and taking the time to have a chat. We'll be back soon with another cracking conversation. Until then, take real good care of yourselves and we'll catch you next time.